Welcome to Inside Analog Photography Radio Program. I'm your host, Scott Shepard, and of course, the Inside Analog Photography Radio Program is all about traditional process photography. We talk about instant photography. We talk about black and white. We talk about color film. We talk about dry plate, wet plate, you name it, alternate printing processes, everything going on in analog photography. And of course, the Inside Analog Photography Radio Program is brought to you by Fujifilm over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional. They have beautiful C41 color neg, black and white, color chrome, and of course, instant. Instant film rocks. These guys have so much great things going on right now with instant film. Of course, they have the pack film in 3.25 by 4.25 and 4.5. Color, black and white, high-speed black and white. But you know what's even cooler? They have the Instax cameras and film. The Instax Wide is in the country, available everywhere. And of course, right now, brand new, the Instax Mini is now in the U.S. They have cameras. They have film. This Instax Mini is 2.5 by 3.5. It's the size of a business card. This is really fun stuff. You got to check it out. www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab, the place to send all your film to get developed, proofs, you name it. They got a great workflow going. www.richardphotolab.com. DR5 for the most unbelievable proprietary process to turn your black and white film into positives, into chrome. You won't believe until you get your film back as a piece of chrome will blow your mind. The dynamic range, the latitude, it's just unbelievable stuff. Definitely check it out. www.dr5.com. Iger Studios, Lenny Iger, the place to have high-resolution scans done. You know, a lot of people now are shooting analog. They're using a high-resolution scan. They're making digital negatives on an inkjet. Or maybe they're going straight to an inkjet output, but they're making digital negatives and they're printing contact prints. They're doing all the stuff you need to get a high-resolution scan. They're using an Aztec Premier, 8,000 PPI, adjustable aperture. They can give you scans that are basically grain-free. They can adjust it for every kind of film out there. This is crazy stuff going on with Lenny Iger and the guys at Iger Studios. Check them out, igerstudios.com. And, of course, Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com. The camera strap that will not slide off your shoulder. Our media partners, www.apug.org, the Analog Photography User Group. The place on the web for all things analog process. This is a great place to learn, to share information, to get tips and tricks. The community for analog photography, www.apug.org, and of course, our photographic philanthropy partner, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film, www.geh.org, the place to go to find out about the history of traditional analog photography. These people are keeping this alive. They have over 7,000 cameras in their museum of everything that's ever been made, including the Hasselblads that were shot on the moon. You name it. They have the collection. This is a great way to help support. You can be a member of George Eastman House organization. They have a lot of great things going on, but this is something you can do to help give back to photography, to help keep traditional analog photography alive for generations to come. Definitely check them out, www.geh.org. Today on Inside Analog Photo, we're going to have with us Gina Lee. Gina is a fine art wedding and family photographer from the Tampa Bay, Florida region of the U.S. Beautiful work that she's doing, shooting film, just a lot of great stuff going on with Gina. We're going to talk to her about her transition from digital to analog and how all the stuff's been going, her beautiful work, and how she got on photography. Gina, how you doing today?
I'm doing real well, Scott. Thanks. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us here on Inside Analog Photo. Great to have you on the program this week. Gina, you're a professional wedding photographer. You like to take kids' photographs also.
Correct.
You reside in a very nice part of Florida. You're on the western edge of the state, right in the middle there in beautiful Tampa area.
Yes, indeed, right on the coast.
That's a great place. There's a lot of stuff going on there, and it's cool because you can drive to the whole other side of the state in about, what, an hour and a half?
Maybe 2 hours, something like that. We took a trip over to Kennedy Space Center earlier this year with my two children and my husband, and didn't take us long at all to get there.
Isn't Kennedy Space Center cool?
It was really fun. We had a great time.
And you got Disney there. There's a lot of great stuff going on in Florida, except it's humid. I hear it's still very, very warm there.
Oh, man, I tell you, we are just really waiting for the weather to break. We got a little teaser last weekend, and it was down in the 60s and low humidity. It was wonderful, but now we're back up in the 80s again.
Well, it'll come around soon enough.
That's great.
So, of course, you shoot film.
Yes.
But let's talk about how you got involved in photography, what brought you to the point to where you're at today. So tell me about your background, Gina, as a photographer, Did you shoot photography when you were a kid? Did you do this stuff in high school? What brought you to the point to where you wanted to be where you're at today? How'd you start off with all this stuff?
Well, I probably have to trace my love for art in general back to my childhood. My mom is an artist, and I grew up nearly every day watching her paint in our living room in front of big windows with her oils and her watercolors, working at her easel. She really sort of ingrained a love for art in me. I began to understand the difference between fine art and really art that we see all around us from a pretty young age. But I honestly didn't really pursue that much at all until my late 20s. I worked in the world of finance for a while, and then I had children. It was during that time that I was wanting to capture those special moments that I saw going by all the time every day as my little baby boy was growing up. I picked up a camera and really began to just fall in love with the art of photography. I started really just like probably any other mom with a point-and-shoot method. I had a Nikon 35mm, but I was really just using it as a point-and-shoot. My husband and I went through a transition in our life. He graduated with his doctoral degree from a seminary up in the Chicago area. And after he graduated, we went through sort of a job transition time. And we both had some extra time on our hands. It was really a wonderful time in the life of our family, and I happened to pick up a book on photography in a bookstore. It was pretty random, and I remember sitting on the ground in a Books A Million bookstore and just eating through this book on photography. And as I began to realize the creative capability that I had behind the lens of the camera, I got really excited. I bought the book and read through it in a day and came home and put my camera on manual. Started experimenting and playing around, and it was film. It was all 35mm, and I remember how excited I was to take in my rolls of film and get them developed and see what I got, and I had a lot of fun with that. And then about probably a year later of pouring myself into this, really just finding myself very, very passionate about the art of photography, it was about a year later that I transitioned to digital photography, and that was kind of around the time that all the masses were doing the same thing. And in all honesty, I really have to credit a lot of my growth as a photographer to what I was able to do with the digital camera. It really sped up my learning curve because I wasn't trained at a school at Brooks Institute or anything of that sort. I was really just learning everything myself and reading a lot, experimenting a lot. So being able to use a digital camera for me really sped up the learning curve. I learned what I was doing in Photoshop and learned what it meant to have a calibrated monitor and how critical all of that was. And I learned what proper density was to a photograph and white balance and, of course, all of that. It was around that time that I started getting some requests from friends to start doing portrait work. And then I had that one day that my friend asked me to photograph her daughter's wedding. And that was really the moment that kind of changed everything for me. It was from that point forward that I started to look at this hobby a little bit differently. I knew I was really passionate about it, but I began to look at it more as something that could potentially grow into a business. So I decided to shoot this wedding, and I loved it. I had so much fun. There's just so much around me to capture from the emotions and the moments and the beautiful details. There was just so much going on there, and I just really fell in love with that. I really hadn't done any kind of research at that point in time regarding the world of wedding photography. So I was really just shooting based on what I saw with my heart, and I think that was a lot of what drew me to that. So things have just kind of grown from there, but it was earlier this year that I realized that my real love from the beginning was film, and I decided I really wanted to transition back to that. I was thankful for what the digital world gave me, but my real love has always been film, and so that's what I went back to.
Do you find that women, more so even mothers, make better photographers than men? Because, I mean, look at how you started. And I think it's been this way through the ages for many, many decades now that moms are the image capturers. They're the ones that take all the pictures in the family.
That is a really interesting question. I think probably the specific answer to your question is no, I don't think that we're better. But I think that we see things differently. I think that women have a certain level of intuition and can really at times see into the soul of the moment or the expression. Even just a shot of a bouquet, all of those things carry with them some intrinsic beauty that I think women see a little bit differently than men. So, yeah, we see things differently, but I don't necessarily think that we see them better.
Right, like you said, see them better, but I think that women have a different perception of what's going on at a wedding. I can go to a wedding and I know the cute moments to shoot and what looks cool. And I have an idea what my client would want. Because, I mean, ideally your client is the female, the bride. If it's a same-sex wedding, well, that's a different story. But nevertheless, I think that men can be trained to be wedding photographers. And there's a lot of really great guys that are shooting weddings. There's probably a lot more men shooting weddings than women, by far. Lots more. And they're delivering what the client wants, but I think that female wedding photographers have a different view of what's going on than men.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of truth to that. I think that women at times connect with a bride differently. I've been there. I've been a bride. I remember what that felt like, and I remember how important that was. And so, yeah, I think we do see things differently, and I think that we connect differently. I've really built my business around something that I love, and that has everything to do with the personal connection that I have with my clients.
So I have a question for you, okay?
Sure.
So you're a wedding photographer, you're female, you're married, and you got kids. You've been married now, what, 5 years? How long?
13 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
How cool. Congratulations. And with the same person, too, I might add. That's even better.
Yes, absolutely. I have to admit, I was actually married when I was 19. So I got married pretty early and have never regretted that. I really have passionately been in love with my husband for 13 years.
That's great. Okay, so here's a question I have for you. You're married 13 years ago. They did different kinds of photography 13 years ago than they do now.
Heaven.
So here's the big equation here. The photography that you have when you were married, how much of it is on the wall or in your house that you can actually visually see?
Oh, wow. That's a tough question for me. None of it is. Interestingly, the photographs that my mom and dad took were really pretty good.
Yeah?
The photographs that my photographer took weren't so much. So, no, we did never end up ordering any of our professional wedding photographs.
Wow.
Yeah.
So is there a little bit of hate every time you go to a wedding? You're like, Man, basically you got hosed out of your cool photographs, right?
Oh, no, I guess it was long enough ago and I've been blessed with a wonderful husband. Honestly, I haven't really thought a whole lot about that. And I actually have some great photographs from my parents. My parents really took some really beautiful photographs, so, but they're not on my wall.
So I guess the point I was getting at is, okay, so let me get to my main point here. My main point is you go to a wedding and you have the certain things that you know you want to capture. You have maybe some certain things envisioned in your head that another bride would want to see as you being a bride yourself.
Yeah.
A guy can do it. Joe Buzyn can do it. JoJo the Clown can do it. Whatever. But here's the question is, people go out now and shoot thousands of images at a wedding.
Yeah.
And when it's all said and done, and you've been married now 13 years, and let's say you did have a good photographer and you got some nice stuff, how much stuff would be hanging on the wall? One photograph, maybe?
Right.
So here's a question. Do you think people now are going out and taking too many images and not really concentrating on some really super high quality stuff in a lower volume than just taking millions of photographs? And I think, too, that in today's society with the professional marketing of fairy tales and princesses and all these other things that go into little girls' minds as they're growing up. And I think that getting married and being a bride and the wedding day is a huge thing. And people hire photographers to have 14 of them and 18 shooters and behind the scenes everywhere. And they're shooting video, too, in high def. Does it really matter in the long run? Is it better off to have someone shooting some high-quality film and getting those moments that really matter compared to shotgun effect, machine gun shooting?
Well, that really gets to the heart of my transition to film. For me, when I was shooting digitally, it was so easy to fire off thousands of photographs. And I think I was able to get some really beautiful photographs out of those, but it really took the passion out of what I was doing. And when I'm working with film, and I know that every image really matters, I'm taking the time to look for the right light and to look for the right composition and to look for those spectacular moments. And that is the art that preserves a day in a way that firing off thousands of images just can't do. It's amazing what one still shot can do to the heart of a bride. I mean, just one photograph can speak to her heart or to the heart of that couple in a way that thousands of photographs can't. And that is what it's about. It's about slowing down and taking the time to really make what you're doing matter.
So let's talk about deliverables when you were shooting digital versus what you're doing now. When someone comes to you and says, Gina, I want you to shoot our wedding. We love your work. It's beautiful. Do you tell them, I'm going to give you 14 million images on 14 CDs? Or is it going to be like, I'm going to shoot what I'm going to shoot, and I'm going to give you what you get? Now, of course, people look for people that shoot film because people that actually know what good imagery looks like and good photography will look for someone that's a film shooter. So maybe they Google Gina Lee film and you come up and great. They're not going to go to Digital Boy next door and they want you to have it on film. Or maybe they're used to shooting digital pictures on their point and shoot and it all looks like garbage and they want a real photographer that shoots film. Are you going to give them 1,500 images? How do you do your deliverable and when you sort of plan out, or do you even plan out what you're going to shoot? Because a lot of people go into a wedding with a conception in their mind like, okay, I need this, 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 and this. Or do you go in with just a bag of film and like if I shoot 10 rolls or 50, does it matter? I mean, how does that work out with you versus your digital days when you were just like, cool, man, put it on burst, let's rock?
Well, my workflow has changed a lot, both on the wedding day and after the wedding day. I do typically approach every day with a plan. I don't shoot from a list, but I have sort of within my heart and within my head the shots that I know I really want to make sure I capture. I try to take care of the photographs that I know the family is going to want, the mom is going to want. And so I can't say that I just approach the day as a fly on the wall and just allow the events to unfold as they do. I do step in and take control of the day and make sure that I get the shots that I need to. As I've transitioned from shooting both digitally and shooting film on the same day, now I've sort of transitioned to being 100% film. I'm usually shooting around 30 rolls at a wedding. That consists of everything from the preparation shots. I love the time when the bride is getting dressed and there's all that anxiousness and excitement, and I love to try to capture that. There's usually tears going on during those moments, the interaction between perhaps the bride and her mom or her maid of honor, and lots of hugs usually during that time. And so I try to capture that. And then I love to be able to take some portraits during that time and to really structure that in a way that I know is going to look beautiful. It's not just about the moment, but it's really about capturing something that's beautiful as well. So that sometimes means moving some things around in a hotel room and making sure the junk is cleared out, or communicating with the bride ahead of time and having her make sure that we've got a space to work in within the hotel room. But that doesn't take a lot of time during the day. Then we typically move along, and sometimes the bride and groom want to see each other before the ceremony. Sometimes they don't. I'd say I get kind of a 50-50 mixed bag there. If they do, then obviously we have some time to capture some really beautiful portraits of the two of them. And those are usually pretty relaxed. I really love to capture natural interaction between a couple rather than trying to manipulate that. I love to try to put the bride and the groom in an environment where I know the light is beautiful and I can set up the stage, so to speak, but then allow them to really be themselves. I give a little bit of direction, not a lot of direction. And then, of course, we move into the ceremony, and I usually take a lot of photographs during that time. And then we've got the group shots and detail shots and reception shots. So, yeah, I kind of have a flow. The day usually kind of moves along in a pretty predictable way, and it's really a mix of real moments and images that I've taken time to sort of step into the situation and make sure I get what I need to get.
What's your thoughts on your portraiture and the work you're doing with the bride? I mean, if you look, a lot of people will do straight PJ photojournalistic shots. They don't do any interaction. There's no posing. And then let's go to another end to where, let's say, someone like Jerry Gionis is doing smoking sexy hot, really posed, really very high-end looking stuff. So do you find that your clients are looking to be conveyed in that look?
No.
What's your thoughts on how the differences is between what people are creating, maybe what your clients are looking for, and what you think that these brides want?
Great, great question. Very simple answer. My clients want something that's natural, romantic, soft. They're not looking for high fashion and a lot of posing. They are not looking for strictly photojournalism. They're looking for me to put them in a position where they can naturally interact and look very beautiful at the same time.
But nobody comes up and says they want the super sexy half-dressed Jerry pose. They want it to look like it's coming out of French Vogue.
No, not at all. I definitely do not take a high fashion approach. Perhaps a bit editorial, but even with that, I would say not a lot. It's really a lot of natural interaction. The couple oftentimes are looking at each other. They're close. They're touching hands. They're kissing a cheek. They're really genuinely interacting. And I usually coach them that way. One of the things I say to almost all my clients before I begin photographing them is that one of the reasons that I love photographing kids is that they don't really care about the camera. You go out to a field and let them play around a little bit, and gosh, you're going to get great stuff because kids, they're not afraid of the camera. And I usually ask my couples to try to take that approach, to just forget about the camera a little bit and just be together and allow me to put myself in a position where they're going to look beautiful, to find the right perspective and to find the right light and to make sure they're in a spot where they're going to look beautiful, but the interaction is natural.
Do you find that you get inspiration from just being yourself, what you'd want to see? Are you influenced by reading Vogue, reading wedding magazines? Do you try to keep yourself open-minded, or do you look at other people's work and sort of just see what's going on? I mean, how do you keep yourself fresh, I guess I'm getting to the point of?
Great question. I have to say that that's sort of been something that has been an evolving process for me. When I first started shooting my first wedding, I didn't have any idea what kind of world there was out there. That was really at kind of the height of the digital transition. And every photographer out there was grabbing a digital camera and shooting weddings, it seemed like. And I guess I didn't even realize that going into it. But I shot that first wedding just kind of how I wanted to do it. I really hadn't looked at anybody else's work. And that's been one of my favorite weddings. I think I've grown a lot as a photographer since then. I've certainly learned a ton. But it was really me, that the shots that I saw and the shots that I took were kind of my own, I guess you would say. And after that time, I started really researching the world of wedding photography, and I saw what was out there. For a while, that was really exciting. It was like, wow, look at all this cool stuff. Then I started feeling like I was seeing the same things over and over and over and over again. And it was during that time that I kind of decided to stop looking at all the blogs, stop looking at all the websites, and go back to what was me. And I went through a time where, gosh, I was trying to do some of that high fashion posing stuff, and it just never really worked well for me. It didn't fit. It wasn't me. And I guess I have sort of found my own style, and I have my own niche, but I don't often try to spend a lot of time looking at other photographers' blogs, because sometimes I think it sort of kills what I see with my own eyes.
Do you think that being a wedding photographer, that you can get into sort of a groove and have a nice look and things going? Or do you find that you need to keep mixing it up and you have to have fresh new things all the time? Or does it really matter to the point because you have different clients and they're different? So a lot of people get into sort of a little program and a groove and they know they're going to get these shots and they have a very consistent look. And it's the same from wedding to wedding to wedding. Does it really change with you, with the environment you're shooting, with the location, with the clients, with their personality? How does that intermix with what you have as a conceived notion of what you want to do versus what has been thrown in the mix at the day of the wedding?
Sure. I think it's really important for any photographer to find a niche and to find a look that really works well for them. I think that you need to have a certain look to your photographs that is identifiable. It's part of branding. It's part of just good business sense. And so I really have tried to develop that. To develop a sense where I do kind of get into a groove and I've found my niche, and to a certain extent I like to do the same thing at every wedding. But at the same time, I try to take an approach that allows every couple to be unique, and I like to try to find what is unique about each event. And I guess maybe that's why I love the mix of real moments and portraits that are a little bit more structured. I like the mix of being able to insert myself into the day and yet at the same time allow moments to unfold. It's a good balance for me. I do try to find consistency and yet at the same time allow each event to speak of its own uniqueness.
Let's talk about your gear that has a play into your look. Let's talk about equipment. What are you shooting with?
Well, I have a variety of Nikon 35mm and lenses. And a Contax 645 with several backs. My favorite right now is most definitely that 645 medium format Contax. I just am loving it.
One piece of glass, and multiple pieces? Are you using the 8020?
I'm just using the 8020, and I just absolutely love it. I love the depth of field. I'm usually shooting somewhere between 2.0 and 4. I like to shoot wide open, or at least fairly wide. I like that shallow depth of field, and boy, that 645 contact just is amazing. It's just really beautiful. I think, though, that one of the reasons that I love this camera so much, and this might be a little bit different from what other photographers might say, is that it forces me to slow down. Even with the 35 millimeters, I feel like I can just fire off shots really quickly because I'm using fast-focusing lenses. But that Kontax 645, boy, that thing focuses slowly. And at first, that was really frustrating for me. But now I'm really loving that because it forces me to slow down and to really think through what I'm shooting and to compose it properly and to just slow down.
Yeah, I think with the Kontax, you can focus faster, probably manually.
You're exactly right. I was at first trying to focus automatically, and now I'm not. I'm focusing manually with it.
But it creates a beautiful image, and it's not fast,
yeah.
And you have to think about it, and I just think that it's a great piece of gear.
Yeah, it really is. But at the same time, I really love my Nikon 35mm. I'm primarily using F100s, and my favorite lens is my 50mm prime.
Beautiful. Perfect.
Yeah, I love it. I really enjoy that a lot. I had a 35-70 that I dropped and broke at a wedding this past summer. It was one of my favorites, so I'll have to get that one replaced.
So it actually broke. It's not fixable.
It nearly busted in half. It's pretty tattered.
So with this portraiture, and I'm getting back to a point that you said about really making sure that you have time with your bride to get that formal picture. Because I think going back to what I said earlier, really when it's all said and done and you're giddy over the wedding and you've been planning this thing for a year or two and spent ungodly amounts of money, way more than you should have. And then guess what? Your bubble's been popped. You're married. It's over. I mean, isn't that a big thing for a girl to be married? I mean, it's a big event. Some people don't care. They're like, whatever, cool, great. Some people, it's the big deal. And really, when it's all said and done, how much are you going to have out 2, 3, 4, 5 years later? Maybe one picture on the wall. Maybe one picture on the fireplace. Maybe none.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons that I really like to try to focus attention on albums. I find that my clientele are much more likely to purchase an album than they are to purchase a lot of prints. I think you're right. I don't think we oftentimes see a lot of wedding photographs on the wall, but I think that when you have guests come over, they love to look through your wedding album. And that's something that can bring joy for years and years and years and becomes an heirloom piece. I am not hesitant to turn over a disc of images. I think it's great for couples to be able to make prints on their own. And if they would like to purchase that from me, I'm more than willing to give that to them. To be perfectly honest with you, I don't even spend a lot of energy on online galleries because I'm not really interested in a lot of print sales. I'm a mom, I've got 2 boys, and I really don't want to be doing a lot of print orders and packaging and shipping and sending and all of that. I haven't been really pleased with a lot of the solutions that I know some companies provide for that, or at least I haven't found the one that's worked for me, and so I don't want to do a lot of print sales. But I do want to invest a lot of time into the album design. I want the album to be beautiful. I want that to be an heirloom piece. That's what I try to encourage my bride to move towards. And so when I shoot, I am kind of looking at that day through kind of an album design perspective a little bit. I'm looking for images that are going to look good in an album.
Exactly. Let's go back to Jerry Gionis, okay? Jerry knows when he shoots, he's shooting for the album because that's it, man. The album is it. And guess what? He'll go through and shoot what he needs. And when he knows he's got it, it's like, later, cool. And he'll have one of his other second, third shooters. Go ahead, continue. I'm out of here later. In his head, it's the vision. It's the album. That's the final deliverable.
Yeah.
That's the accumulation of the whole day. That is the documentation of the big gig.
It tells the story. It's really what tells the story from beginning to end. Just finished an album design a week ago, I think. And the response that I got back from the bride was just so great. She said, my mom and I looked through it, and we both just cried, and it just tells the story, and we just love it so much. And it does. It tells the story. That's what really brings to life the memories that they have from that day.
So let's talk about this formal portraiture, or have you had a request? Well, let's talk about when you got married, just a mere 13 years ago. I'm assuming he shot this on film, probably medium format, right?
I don't think he did, but I think it was 35 millimeter.
Did you do a formal portrait?
Yes.
Okay. How many people do you have now request or you do a formal portrait? Traditionally, you would see a formal portrait of the bride. Nobody cares about the groom. It's all about the bride anyway. They'll do a formal portrait prior to the wedding and actually have that at the reception or the wedding.
Yeah. No, I haven't had any requests for a formal portrait. Not even one. I do have a lot of engagement session requests. And I love doing engagement sessions. That's just great. I mean, what a wonderful way to get to know the couple. And to get some great natural interaction between the two of them. to build that relationship and make it personal. I love shooting engagement sessions, but formal portraits, no. The formal portrait that I call a formal portrait would be on the wedding day, and it would be the shot of the bride and her bouquet standing in a pose that I've put her in, and I do that. And that's something that I think moms love and the brides generally love, and it usually does go into the album. But even that has a very natural feel to it. It's not high fashion, and it's not really kind of your old school 13 years ago look either. It's pretty natural.
I make this comment because earlier in the year at Imaging USA, this is PPA's show, their annual Imaging USA show that was in Phoenix, and you walk around the photography exhibit, the competition area where there's photos, I noticed that wedding photography, all the stuff that was in it, and there's categories for wedding and all that. And I've even found this at WPPI too, that there's all this hip, really cool, high fashion, crazy off the wall, whatever stuff. But there were some traditional former portraits, like the Victorian style sitting chair made for portraiture. All the ones that had formal portraiture were all Asian. So I think maybe it's the culture itself that they're looking for that type of print and that image. And Westerners, they didn't. So I found it to be really interesting going to a PPA show that was for Professional Photographers of America, but only formal portrait were of Asian women.
That's really interesting. Yeah, that's very fascinating. And I have to say that when I see that formal portraiture, it's really beautiful. I mean, I have quite a high level of respect for that type of photography. It's not my thing, but I know it takes talent to do it. Typically, the clients that are coming my way are really looking for a more natural look and are looking for something that just feels a little softer and feels a bit more romantic. And so I don't usually get requests for that, but I certainly have a respect for that style of photography. It takes talent.
Do you think it's because of the relaxed and more of a carefree lifestyle there in the west coast of Florida? Would it be different if you were back in Ohio or in Chi-Town?
Boy, that's a good question. Yes and no. I think that the majority of brides in this area are looking for something that is a little bit more high fashion, to be perfectly honest. I'm really surrounded by a multitude of digital photographers that are doing a very edgy, contemporary look. And I think that that kind of goes along with sort of the South Beach culture, the whole Miami thing. I think that that's carried over to the Tampa area, and so I see a lot of that. I see a lot of really saturated colors and dark, edgy, urban kind of things. And so I'm kind of an anomaly around here in that I'm not really doing that, and nor am I really doing the traditional portraiture either. I'm kind of doing my own thing, I guess, in a way.
Very cool. Film, acquisition material, emulsion, what are you shooting on? What do you dig?
I'm definitely a Fuji girl, 408 and 800. My primary go-to film is probably the Fuji 800. I love 400 when I can use it, but I usually find that I'm in shady areas that require a little bit faster speed. And I do like to rate my ISO at half. So if I'm shooting 800 film, then I'm rating it at 400. So in order to get me there, I'm usually using 800. I love the color that I get from it. I love the soft green. I love the really creamy skin tones that I get when I'm overexposing. And then I'm also using Ilford 3200 and Neopan 400. So those are my two black and white. And I have to even just say thanks to Jose Villa for passing along some really great suggestions for film. When I made this transition, I called him up, and he certainly didn't have any idea who I was, but was really kind to spend some time on the phone with me and give me some great suggestions, and that's what I went with. And I've been loving it, so I haven't really found a need to look for anything else.
No, Jose is an open book, and he likes to share information.
Yeah.
Do you find that you like to push the Fuji even harder? Stop and a half, two stops, have you played with that?
Yeah, I have actually, and yeah, I do like that. I'm usually somewhere between one and two stops. Usually at about one and a half. Sometimes I do push it a little further.
What tells you to shoot black and white or color? Because, of course, I'm assuming that you're using a hybrid workflow, and we'll get into that here in a minute. But what says I'm going to shoot this in color and this in black and white?
If it is during a particular time of the day that I know a lot of emotion is involved, I love to use black and white. If I'm in an environment where I think the background is really distracting or there's some weird colors going on, I love the power of black and white. Just strip all that away, and it becomes really about your subject. And I also like to use black and white when I'm trying to create an old look. I'm an old-fashioned kind of gal, and I love black and white film grain just for the look of it. just simply for that old-fashioned kind of look. And so those are usually the three reasons that I'll shoot black and white. And I do use a lot of black and white, usually about maybe 30%.
Very interesting. Very cool because, you know, like you said, when you strip away the color, yes, if you're doing a Margaritaville wedding and you're on some crazy stuff in Florida and it's just over the top color-wise, yes, there's a need for color. If you're out shooting at Disney World, yeah, you probably want to shoot color. But if you want to strip away and just pull out the pure emotion of the environment or the situation or the people, and even add a little old school, throw a little more grain with that 3200 in there, I mean, that's pretty cool.
And I think that's part of the reason that when brides here in this area come to me, they're looking for something different than what they see all over the place, which is this really contemporary, urban, super saturated Margaritaville stuff. And so they're really looking for kind of that nostalgic look. And I think that black and white Guilford 3200 is just awesome for that.
It is. I mean, look at Rhesus Valladares down a little bit south of you there in Miami.
Uh-huh.
He shoots all his weddings with a Leica in black and white, no color. You don't even get color, man. Sorry. So there's people looking for that look, and I think that people should try more black and white. It's very strong. Have you ever played around with shooting the C41 color, like BW400CN or the Ilford XP2?
I haven't. I have not done a whole lot of playing around just yet, and I feel like I've been playing around just a ton this year just learning what I've been learning. But I'm excited to do that. I was joking not too long ago with one of my second photographers and my assistant. We were sitting down having our vendor meal at a reception. We were laughing, and we were talking about some of the things I was doing. And he just said, well, what's it going to be next? Because you're going to get bored pretty soon. And she's right. There's a sense in which I'm always itching to do something new and looking for what's next. So I'll be playing around with some other film types next year, I'm sure. But right now, I'm having lots of fun with Fuji 400 and 800 and Ilford.
Can't go wrong there. It's all good. So what do you do with workflow? What do you do when you're done? You got a whole bag full of film. You're back from a gig. You're exhausted. You're done. What do you do next? What happens? Where does it go? Who does it?
Great question. The next thing that I usually do is take some great photographs of my boys to use up the last of whatever rolls I was shooting on. I hate wasting those shots, and I've got two beautiful boys, and so why not take a few shots of them or other things here and there that I see that I just think are beautiful. So I'll take a few days before I send them out to be processed and use up the rest of the rolls. Then I send them off to Richard Photo Lab, and they have been just tremendous. They've been so great. Bill Pine has been just a tremendous help for me in this transition. And said something once that really stuck in my mind as I was pondering making this transition and wondering if I could really ever make it work for me. And he was telling me a little bit about some of their products and what they offer and their proofs and the options that I would have. I remember he said, most labs are kind of doing this, but we're doing some of this and it makes us a little bit different, but I guess that's kind of what we're about. We sort of tend to go against the grain. And I really appreciated that from him. I just really appreciate his perspective on a lot of things. So they've just been great. They've helped me out a lot, and they do a beautiful job with the processing. They make my job after the fact a whole lot easier. Yeah, so I get the digital images back from them because all of the film is scanned. And then, of course, I get the proofs as well. I'm still kind of trying to decide what approach I want to take, whether or not I just want to hand over the proofs to clients, or whether I want to work a little bit more with the scans. I've been doing a few different things here and there, trying to feel out what I like best. And right now, I'm kind of leaning towards the idea of taking the digital images, and I have an assistant who I'm training right now, and she's loading them up into Lightroom and sorting them, putting them into time sequence. I think that's really an important part of telling a story, is having them in order sequentially. Which was something that was easier when I was shooting digitally because you were able to just set that in the camera. So she's doing some sorting for me, and then I'm kind of just going back in and making some adjustments here and there to the density, or if I need to make some exposure adjustments or something like that, I can do it. But that's pretty simple. I mean, there's not a lot that needs to be done, and that's part of what I love about film and using Richard Photo Lab.
So tell me, with Richard, are you having your stuff scanned on a Noritsu scanner? Or a Fuji SP scanner?
Well, gosh, I don't think I even know. That's a very good question. I have the medium res scan done, which gives me a really good 8x10. And if I need to have anything larger than that, then I'll send negative back and have them do a drum scan. Then I can get up to 20x24. But like I said, I'm not doing lots of large prints. I'm really more interested in album design. So that medium res scan works real well for me. And so, yeah, I'm not sure what scanner they're using.
Albums. Albums, flush mount, traditional, borders, mats. Who you using? You making your own?
No. Remember, I'm a mother of two boys. Making my own albums is probably not going to be something I'm ever going to find myself having time to do. No, I have a great album company based here in Florida, Album Crafters. They put out a super high quality album. It's beautiful. It's a family-owned business. I love the idea of supporting smaller family-owned businesses. Their turnaround time is incredible, and the quality of the album is just superb. So I'm really loving what I'm getting from them. I put together my digital layout, flush mount album, send it to them. They do the printing, they handcraft the album, and send it back to me about a week, 2 weeks later. It's great. My album designs are very, very simple. I'm not about really busy designs or a lot of graphic elements. I am primarily using just white space with no borders, and I'm really just letting the photograph tell the story because that's what it's about. I also offer a more traditional matted album. Album Crafters provides that for me as well. It's a really beautiful album. It's not super old school. It's kind of a more contemporary approach to a matted album, but still has that traditional matted feel and look, which I really love. And I'm also using Cypress. I offer their beautiful Cypress albums, which are the highest end album that I offer to my clients. They're just beautiful. And that ribbon that's imported from Switzerland is pretty incredible. And the handcrafted, sophisticated look to that album is just exquisite. It's really beautiful.
Do you typically meet clients at home, at their place? Do you have a commercial location?
I meet them here in my home. And it's interesting that you ask that because that's been something that's been really hard for me. I started out my business doing the whole Starbucks thing. I felt like if I was going to meet with them in my location, that I needed it to be a studio. I felt like it just had to be a studio. It had to be off-site. Otherwise, it just didn't cut it. And so in lieu of having that, I was meeting them at Starbucks. And I really look back on that now and I think, how silly of me. That just doesn't make any sense at all. And at one point in time, I decided more for the sake of time and the way that I manage my family, that it just made more sense to meet here at home. It wasn't so much about what I felt like would be best in the presentation to the clients. But I do love decorating. I spent some time over the past few years making my home look as beautiful as I can on the budget that I have. It's simple, it's pretty organic looking, pretty natural looking, and it really sort of fits my style of photography. And so it was a pretty easy transition to bring them into my home. And I have been just amazed at how much that allows me to connect with my clients early on. I make them a latte out of my kitchen, and they sit at my dining room table and chat with whoever it is that they're with, whether it's a fiance or a mom or a wedding planner, and it's all very comfortable. And then we go into my living room and we talk. It feels like we're just talking with a friend, and that's a lot of what my business is about. It's very personal, so it fits really well, and I don't anticipate changing that anytime soon.
Do you have a lot of ancillary sales items to push off, or because you're really concentrating on the album, do you have a few albums out, or do you have the place completely just plastered with stuff everywhere?
No, I don't have stuff plastered everywhere. I have two very large custom framed pieces, and they're in my dining room, and I have albums on my dining room table. I have a lovely little centerpiece on my dining room table and some smaller framed pieces. Just two, actually, in my dining room, and albums, and that's pretty much what it's about. Everything else, it's just the way that I've made my home feel like home, so it feels more like home. I call it a home studio, and that's what it is. It's sort of a dual workplace. I have clients that come here to pick up albums, or if they want to take a look at an album design or make some changes in person, I do that here in my home. I've actually got my humongous desk in my living room, and it's kind of a pretty desk. It's sort of feminine and natural-looking, and I've made it look like it fits. And so all of that together between my sort of great room, living room area, and my dining room area is what I call my home studio, and it works really well.
Very cool. So what do you look forward to moving forward with your photography that you haven't had a chance to achieve yet that you want to do? I mean, it'd be great probably to do 100 weddings a year. I mean, artistically and photographically wise, not talking business, but what would you like to do that you haven't really done yet?
From a business perspective, I really want to spend more time getting some work published and sending off weddings to editors. I am tremendously excited to have been published for the first time this fall in the fall issue of Bride Florida magazine. That was really exciting for me, and I want to do more of that. I want to devote the time that I need to in order to establish relationships with the magazine editors, start making that a goal for this coming year. So that's probably one of the primary things that I'd like to do. I want to start experimenting more with some film types, as we talked about before. I'm kind of in a little groove right now with what I'm working with, but I want to expand my knowledge base and learn more about what all is out there and what I can do. And I think, lastly, I want to really continue to grow as a photographer in my capture, just from the moment that I'm taking the photograph behind the camera. I want to work a little bit more on getting my light right and metering. And I'd like to be at a place within a very short period of time where I feel comfortable turning over the proofs just the way they are to my clients, rather than perhaps doing the work that I'm doing in Lightroom. I tend to be pretty critical of my own work. I think that I probably could turn over my proofs just as they are, and I think that my clients would be really thrilled and pleased. And so I'm sure I could do that right now, but I guess I want to grow a little bit more and feel like I love what I see in the proof beforehand. So I'm going to work to grow my skills behind the camera a little bit more.
So you get a scan back from Brian and those guys at Richard, then you adjust and then send the negative file back so they do the proofs, or how's that working?
They are sending me proofs, and the reason that they're sending me proofs right now is because I want to see what it looks like. I want to be able to get my hands on the proofs. It's not what I'm actually turning over to my clients. And that's part of, I guess, just my transition to film. And I'm just really wanting to be able to look at those photographs and see the print itself and take the time that I need to look at that and think about maybe how I would do something differently the next time and push myself to grow that way. Most of the clients that I booked before I transitioned to film booked me when I was shooting digitally. They saw a look about my work that was different from everybody else. It was still very natural, but it wasn't film. And so most of them in their contract were already anticipating getting a disc of images and not proofs. So the great thing about that is I've got this window of time here where I'm able to take the digital scans, make adjustments that I want to, and I'm finding that, gosh, there isn't a whole lot that I'm needing to do. It's wonderful. It's great. And that's part of the reason that I transitioned to film. But it allows me sort of that time that I need to really work on that. So here within a pretty short period of time, I'm going to be transitioning over. And rather than handing over that disc of images, now within the contracts that I'm putting together, I'm going to be providing proofs. And I haven't decided yet whether or not I'm going to use the proofs that Richards gives me, or if I'm just going to get the disc from them, then make some adjustments and order my proofs through White House Custom Color, which is my other lab that I use from time to time. So I'm kind of just transitioning there. I'm not sure exactly what direction I'm going to go just yet, but kind of feeling that out wedding to wedding and seeing what works.
Would you edit down your proofs, or would you give them everything?
Oh, heavens no. I definitely edit them down. I don't edit out a lot. I probably edit out maybe 10 to 20%, something like that. I'm usually handing over about 700, 800 images.
Very cool. And are you metering with your contacts meter?
I'm metering with my contacts or with my Nikon, and I like to meter through the shadow. One of the reasons, again, that I like shooting with that contacts is it just really forces me to slow down and to look at my meter. I meter everything manually. I'm not using aperture priority at all. I'm always, always shooting manually. I feel like I have more control that way. But like I said before, having that contact in my hands and even just having to focus slowly forces me to kind of slow everything else down, and it forces me to really think about how I'm metering. And I like that control, and it's making me become a better photographer.
So what would you say for a chief takeaway if you were involved in the digital environment or if you were a fresh photographer? What would be your number one tip?
For a digital photographer who's wanting to transition to film?
Yep, and then maybe if you were someone wanting to get into the business. That might be a hairy proposition in its own, but what would be your chief takeaway as a cool tip?
Well, let me start with someone who might like to be getting into the business, because I think there are lots and lots of photographers out there that would like to get into the business. I guess there's probably two pieces of advice that I would have. First, if you're going to do it right, it's going to take you a lot more time than you think. I think a lot of photographers get into this thinking this is a quick way to make some money, and it's not. Photographers starting out tend to price themselves way too low, and it takes them a lot longer to do what they thought that they were going to be able to do, at least if they're wanting to do it right, and it becomes sort of a frustrating process. So I guess I would say don't assume that it's going to be quick, easy money. It's not. It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. And don't sell yourself short. Don't price yourself too low. Turn out a good product and take the time that you need to do it correctly. And secondly, I would say early on, start looking for what it is that makes you different, what sets you apart from everybody else. Spending hours and hours and hours on blogs and websites from other photographers is helpful in a sense that it can give you some ideas, but sometimes it can quickly deplete your own creativity. I think that we all have something unique to bring to the table. This is art. Photography is art. And if it's going to be fine art, it has to be really something that is you and not something that is from somebody else. So taking the time to really think about who you are and what you love and how you want to build your business around that, I think is really important to building a business brand and delivering something that truly is artistic. For a photographer who's in that digital world and feels like they're spinning their wheels and loves the look of film and wants to be able to transition to film, I guess I would say at some point in time you just have to do it. And that's what it was for me. I remember last February sitting in a car with one of my second photographers. After a long wedding, we had driven back home a couple of hours. It was around 1 o'clock in the morning, and I guess maybe I was just tired enough to actually say it. I told her, I said, you know, I really want to shoot film. And there was something about saying that out loud that kind of changed things for me. It became more than just something silly. It became something that was more tangible. And after that, I started really looking at, I guess you could call it a dream that I had. It was a goal. It was a dream. It was something that I was passionate about. I wanted to do it. It seemed absurd to me because nobody else in their right mind was shooting film, especially not in the Tampa area, especially not exclusively. There are a few photographers that are shooting a little here and there, but not exclusively. And so it felt like if nobody else is doing this, why in the world would I be doing it? But I knew it was what I wanted to do, and so I started to do the research and figure out what all would really be involved in making that happen. Even in doing that research, it became very intimidating to me. There's costs that are involved. I would need to buy more equipment. All of that felt intimidating, but at some point in time, I just had to make the decision, I'm going to try this because this is what I really want to do, and I might fall flat on my face, but if I don't try it, I'm always going to wonder, and I'm so glad I did, and it's made me a much better photographer, really.
No guts, no glory.
That's right. That's right. And from a practical perspective, I started out slow. I didn't just grab 30 rolls of film and take only my film cameras to the first wedding that I decided to shoot film. I incorporated a little here and there to see how stuff was turning out and what was going on and got my feet wet a little bit, and then it felt a little safer to me. Gosh, when I started getting those images back from the lab and they were beautiful, it was so exciting. It just felt like Christmas. It was so great to get the images back in the lift room and just feel like, wow, this is beautiful. It's been tremendously rewarding. I'm so thankful that I made this transition and really blessed to have the support of my husband to do it.
That's always good.
Yeah.
Gina, I really appreciate you spending some time with us today talking about yourself, your photography, your transition from digital to analog, and all the other stuff we chatted about. And it's just really cool, and you just have some beautiful, stunning work and a great attitude, and it's very cool to chat with you today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
No, I think it's very cool, and I really appreciate it, and I think that we'd love to have you back chatting about some other topics and maybe go a little more in-depth on a few things. Really cool to speak with you today.
Well, I would love to be able to spend more time with you as well. I know that 6 months from now, I'm probably going to be in a completely different place, and I'll have learned a lot more, and I'd love to share my growth as I go along.
Yeah, great stuff. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Well, there you go. Gina Lee, beautiful photography, very cool work she's up to, just unbelievable, great. Analog capture. This is beautiful photography. You got to check out our website. Just a great story and what a great inspiration. The Inside Analog Photography radio program has been brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful, over at www.fujifilmusa.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab at richardphotolab.com. DR5 over at www.dr5.com. Iger Studios over at igerstudios.com. Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com. And of course, our media partners, APUG, the Analog Photography User Group, over at www.apug.org. Our photography philanthropy partners, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film, over at www.geh.org. I've been your host, Scott Shepard, here on Inside Analog Photography Radio. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.